Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second. It's nice to have the shepherds out of town. Lots of cleanup to do after all that.
Yeah. It's a little unfair to us that on the last day of their convention, they shear all the sheep and then just leave the wool.
Yeah, like it's tradition, but couldn't we make a tradition that they clean up the wool? But I too am glad that they enjoyed their convention and they've moved on.
Yeah,
because the next convention, I mean, just rolled right into town.
Mm-hmm.
Moments later, it seemed.
Moments later, it's all those squash fiends.
Yes,
they're coming into town.
Both fans of the food and of the sport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of just the action, the verb.
Mm-hmm.
If you like squash and stuff,
or eating squash, or butternut squash,
or playing squash.
Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, that this. We used to be a squash town.
Yeah, we used to be a squash and pumpkin town.
So it's kind of nice to have, I don't know, squashes around again.
Our cultural heritage.
Yeah. Really.
Exactly.
We really should have the squash convention during the turning of the stone.
But... Oh, well, that would make sense.
It just changes, you know, the time of year too often.
It's so hard to schedule.
It's hard to keep track of.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get it really nailed down.
Because we established these conventions, I mean... months in advance, years in advance, mm-hmm. but we don't know when the new year is going to come to Timberdale and we're going to turn the stone, so.
I mean, who knows if you know, if it's going to see its shadow or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not summer's ever going to end, you know?
But yeah, I've been serving a lot of squash out of the concession stand. That's the big...
We're showing a lot of squash-related films.
Mm-hmm. No need to name any of them. I mean, we all know that the top squash films.
Uh-huh.
Don't want to bore the listener.
Sasquash.
Sasquash.
I said let's not name them.
I'm sorry. There are just so many really good ones that it's hard to, you know, not just rattle them all off.
Just
you know?
This list going through my head right now that I just want to get them all out.
But let's put a pin in that for later.
Yeah, why don't we do something different this week and get like right into the movie first thing.
Okay.
Let's start the podcast now. No muss, no fuss.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to bore anybody with our daily lives.
It's a snooze fest, folks. A snooze fest.
Well, it's a squash fest.
Yeah, it's a squash fest this week.
Right, I'm sorry. Snooze fest is next week.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
Did you read the bead curtain?
Damn it,
Greg.
I tried not to. But as I was walking through, the bead door with my eyes closed, the actual door on the hinges was closed. And so I slammed right into it. I opened up my eyes in surprise, and I saw right in front of me, Snooze Fest next week.
Well, we'll have that to look forward to,
yeah,
I guess.
Something to look forward to. But right now, Squash Fest, and right now, it's time for Break Room at the Cineplex with me, Kyle McClinsky.
And me, Greg Basil.
And also me, Henry Harrison.
So welcome.
Well, here we go. Here we are.
Let's get to the film. This week, we watched, you know, in between, you know, squash related activities, we watched this film that was, I guess it could be considered a children's family film. It's about like this woman who's a, I don't want to call her a mad scientist.
Yeah.
But she's not the normal kind.
She's
unhinged, maybe.
Yeah.
Disturbed,
a little off
I guess.
The rails. The British might
mad
call it mad.
Scientist. Maybe she's mad.
Maybe a little mad. Yeah, I guess that's probably a good way to describe
her. Yeah. So she's a mad scientist.
But she's also a loving mother to three beautiful children. Her words, not mine. I mean, I don't want to...
You're on the record as saying they're beautiful children, so we can move on and not think that. And she gets into some wacky hijinks with her experiments,
mm-hmm.
and her children
are caught in the crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, while her husband, you know, he's out of town for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and he's entrusted her to take care of the kids. But boy, does it not go according to plans.
It does not go the way that we think.
He's a no nonsense salesman. He sells vacuum cleaners, mm-hmm. and he's just like, I'm going away for for vacuums.
Yeah, he is the top sales exec for a vacuum cleaner company. So he's traveling all over the country. Just, I mean, he sells individual vacuums, but at a very high price.
These are top of the line.
Have to ask, you can't afford. All right.
How much is this vacuum? No. It's not for
Listen, that's not how this works. I'll be the one asking the questions.
But the movie's not about him. It's mostly about her and her crazy experiments.
Mm-hmm.
This film was called...
Darling, I Squashed the Kids.
We watched it, of course, mm-hmm. because it's Squash Week.
And it is... It's pretty... It's something. Like, she straight up turns these gossamer children, these gorgeous children... into squashes. She turns them into squash.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that. We should probably start from the beginning.
Yes, indeed. Start at the top.
We get the opening scene. I mean, it's like, this was a 90s movie. So we get that classic, almost sitcom-like intro. I mean, it's not like they're like, you know, oh, you caught me smiling, but it's... It's the same sort of thing where you open at the house and you kind of saunter into their living or their kitchen. All the kids are eating breakfast and the husband runs down the stairs. He's got a briefcase full of vacuum cleaners. He kisses his wife on the cheek. He says, "Honey, I'm off to Nevada. I got to go sell these vacuum cleaners."
One at a time.
I know. I'm not going to dig too deep into your job, but good luck, honey.
And she says, but don't forget to take a breakfast sandwich and a robot. There's a robot, like kind of a skeleton kind of. It's just arms on a post, and it's flipping.
It's skeleton
eggs.
Arms on a post.
Skeleton arms.
It's skeleton arms strapped onto a 2x4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's flipping eggs. And it's toasting bagels, and it's putting cheese delicately, and hands him a sandwich, and he says thank you, and he gives it a kiss, and then he's out the door. He pats the kids.
He doesn't
on
kiss his wife goodbye or the kids.
And there's a plane parked outside on the street, shaped like a vacuum cleaner that he gets onto, and it takes off.
Takes off. And he's out of
the
there.
End of the street.
And this guy's got that vacuum money, you know, like he is.
Yeah.
Wealthy beyond reason.
Yeah, he's got deep pockets, and there's no lint in there. I'll tell
Ooh,
you
no,
what.
No. And so, so he's off. He yells. I'll be back in a week or something. I'll be back when I'm back, okay? And he leaves.
If you have to ask, you can't afford. And then he gets on the plane and fucking leaves.
So we're left with Helen Hollandaise.
Helen Hollandaise and her three gorgeous children named Timothy, Peter, and Susan. And Susan pipes up and she's like, Mom, could I get another sandwich? And Helen turns and says, "Well, why don't you ask the skeleton arms, huh? The skeleton arms, okay? Don't ask me for the food. The skeleton arms has to learn that it makes the food and it is the one who gets you food, okay? And don't
make
give
sure
it,
to give it a little kiss."
And he's like, "But I don't like the skeleton arms. The skeleton arms scare me." And she says, "Well, don't come to me with that problem. You got to take that problem up to laundry basket." And there's another laundry basket at the top of the stairs. Skeleton arms on the side. It's folding laundry.
And it turns around and puts its hand on its on where the hip would be, and it kind of gives a little kind of wagging its finger. It's wagging. So Peter starts to cry, and she's like, "No, none of that. If you're gonna start crying, now you're gonna have to take that to vacuum." And there's vacuum with skeleton arms. There's a lot of skeleton arm action going here.
Yeah, the film's got a little bit of a Halloween theme to it. I mean, it seems like these are just the way her inventions look, but I think we know that Halloween's coming up because, I mean, her next task that she's decided for the weekend is she's going to grow her own squashes for carving, you know, gourds. But she wants to do it super fast and have them be extra large.
She's a little out of her gourd, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, kids, you all eat your You all eat your breakfast and then it's off to school. And I don't want to see you again until school's over, okay? Do you hear me? Because it's important that you all get your education so that you can do smart things like your mama do.
I'll send the car to pick you up after school. And we cut outside and there's a car with some skeleton arms.
Yeah.
Susan is like, but I don't want to do things like mommy does them. I want to be a vacuum salesman like dad. And she says, no, you go to school and you think about what you said to me. And then we're going to have a conversation with skeleton arms later. And she ushers them out the door. They're all like, you know, scrambling to put on their jackets, and mm-hmm. she's like, don't forget your lunch. And she's like, skeleton arms comes out to the front with their lunch boxes and hands them to them, and they take them very skittishly, and they're like, oh God. And they run out, to the end of the street where the school bus is like just pulling up. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Helen turns back inside, or skeleton hands, sorry, turns back inside and sees Helen standing there. And she's like, come on, skeleton hands. We got some preparation to do for the Halloween party tomorrow night. Let's start with carving the squash. Number one, I gotta make the squash. And she starts
one.
Mixing around some beakers and moving around. She's got some squash sitting on the table already.
Yeah, she's got some squash there, and she's got ink marks on there. Like she's measuring them. She's got chemicals, a bunch of chemistry shit on a whiteboard behind it, as if she's coming up with the chemical compounds of a squash.
And she's like, all right, well, these are gonna be the talk of the town. Let me tell you what, skeleton hands. And skeleton hands starts to carve these squash. And she's like, no, skeleton. And he just starts smashing them, like, to mm-hmm. a pulp. And she's like freaking out. She's like, no, skeleton hands. Hold on. And she's trying to calm this 2x4 with skeleton arms on it. And and she's like holding him down by its sides, and it's writhing around, screaming, yeah, making these horrible noises. And
weird grinding noises, like gears winding, this weird.
So she's distracted with this.
Puff of smoke comes out of its neck and sparks fly out.
So we cut briefly back to the kids on the school bus, and the school bus is pulling up to its next stop to pick up the next kid, which is only a few doors down from where they got on. And Timothy, Peter, and Susan are all like huddled in the back, and they're like discussing basically how they don't want to go to school today. They don't want to learn science. Science is scary, and it usually has skeleton arms. And so they hatch a plan to, they're like, let's skip school today, and then we'll sneak back home, and we'll go upstairs and we'll play in our room, and mom will never know. So when the bus comes to the stop to pick up the next kid, they open the emergency exit in the back and just hop off and head back home. We cut back. Helen's still fighting with this 2x4 with skeleton
swinging
arms.
Punches. They're punching at each other.
And so while she's distracted in this fight for her life, the three kids just scurry past and head upstairs without her knowing.
And so they close the door behind them, and they're sneaking, giggling to themselves, like, she'll never know. This is the best thing ever. And they pull out all their toys and they start playing on the floor with them all. And downstairs we get the sputtering out of skeleton hands finally shutting down, and Helen is like, wipes her brow and just like, finally, that's over with. And she's like, all right, well, obviously we need to do some repairs on you, Mr. Skeleton Hands. And she takes him off to the garage where her workshop is. And the kids upstairs are like, oh, I think the coast is clear. We can get some snacks now.
And they don't hear the violent altercation happening downstairs anymore. So they're like, oh, the coast is clear.
And they open the door slightly, and they see laundry basket outside with his skeleton arms.
And skeleton arms on a skateboard, so they can move around. And it's just
pushing
going
itself with his arms.
Yeah.
Back and forth. It's kind of patrolling a little bit.
Looking for laundry.
Picking things up every so often, putting it in the basket and keep going.
And Peter, who's kind of the ringleader of the group, is like, all right, come on, guys, let's go. And he ducks down and right as a laundry basket passes by their door. So he's behind it, and they sneak down the stairs and into the kitchen. And they're kind of rustling around in the pantries. When they hear from the garage, she's like, ah, dang it, I'm going to have to go get my colander. And she comes inside, and they're like, oh, no, and they closed all the drawers behind them. They're inside the cabinets, like, underneath the sink.
Right.
They're all hiding from their mom. And their mom comes in. Helen is searching around in the kitchen. She's like, "Where is that?" And she's like, opens one of the cabinets that they're in, reaches around. She can't see below. She's feeling around.
She's not looking into the cupboard. She's just reaching in blindly with her hand.
Yeah. And so the kid hands her the colander. She pulls it out and she says, "Ah, this is the wrong grade of colander." Or whatever. The holes aren't right.
There's no way a skeleton finger could fit through there.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to the store and get one that a skeleton finger can fit through. So she
narrates loudly.
Mm-hmm.
Off to the store with me.
Says, "I'll probably be gone for more than 5 minutes. I don't know." And she puts she goes over to a coat hanger with skeleton arms. She says, "Coat, please." And the coat hanger hands her the coat. She puts it on herself. Like, it's this. Apparently, these skeleton arms just hand you coats, which is kind of cool. I mean, hey, no judgment to any inventors out there.
I like all these inventions. I would love any one of these to be real.
And so coat hanger hands her the coat and opens the door for her. And then
she steps into her car, and skeleton arms wrap around her and drive her away.
And then the kids are like, "Awesome!" They peek out of the cupboards, and Tommy says, "Hey, Peter, I think we got free reign of the house."
They see all the smashed squash on the counter, and they're like, "Oh, perfect snack!" And they just start to munch on it.
Yummy squash.
They devour the entire squash. There's no squash left when they're done with it.
Seeds and all.
They were hungry.
And so then they're like, "What if we go play some sports in the backyard? We'll need to go get the ball from the garage / laboratory that we're not supposed to go in. But who's going to stop us?
But that's where the basketball is, so."
Yeah, we're always supposed to ask mama for the ball. And then she goes and gets it, but she's not here, which is cool. So let's go do it. Let's go get the ball. And so they're in the garage. Mm-hmm. Susan is on top of Peter's shoulders, and they're shuffling like up above everything. They're shuffling. Things are falling down. There's wrenches falling. There's you know, levels. There's rulers or something, and screwdrivers and all this and all that. And they finally. Susan gets the ball. Timothy's like, "A little to the left, a little more. There it is. That's the ball." And she gets the ball, and she turns around on Peter's shoulders triumphantly. Peter loses his footing. He falls. She falls. The ball falls.
The ball hits Timothy in the forehead, knocks him over.
Timothy falls. His arms go flailing. He's like, "Wah!" And he knocks into the workshop table. Knocks into the table, a lamp falls over, and it hits this, it looks like a ray gun. You know what I'm saying? It looks like a gun. It shoots a beam.
Right. It's connected to one of those like spheres, those like science-y spheres where you touch it and the electricity or whatever goes to your hand.
The static disc thing.
Which I guess powers this thing.
Yeah.
So it flips through the air. The basketball at the same time hits the edge of the table. A beaker falls, spills liquid all over three of them. The ray gun, still spinning in the air, falls, hits the ground, launches a beam which envelops all three of them.
Mm-hmm. Envelops
and,
all three.
And they start to say, "Oh no, we're turning into squash." And And they become these anthropomorphic squash-like creatures. Yeah.
Squash size too. They shrink to like the size, you know, of a normal squash.
And Timothy right away says, "What are we gonna tell mom?" And they start to scramble around. They're running all over the place, because they still have arms and legs, but they are very much squash
like. They're like made of vines and stems.
And Peter's like, "Okay, this is what we're gonna do. Listen, calm down, Timothy, get it together." He slaps him a couple across. Times. He's like, "Listen. All right, what we're going to do, we're just going to go upstairs. We're going to pretend like nothing happened. We're just going to play with our toys and wait till mom gets home.
Maybe she won't notice."
And they scramble. They do this. I mean, it takes a while for them to get upstairs. They're much smaller than they were as children. Mm-hmm.
They're climbing on each other,
and they're having to sneak past a laundry basket and bucket, and
just a bucket.
Yeah, it's just a bucket.
It's not even has skeleton arms. It's just a bucket.
It's got googly eyes on it. They look around.
It was an early invention. And they make it back to their room.
And Susan's like, I'm freaking out, man. I'm freaking out. And Timothy's is like whimpering in a corner. Peter's trying to keep it together for them all.
Yeah, Peter's pacing back and forth, and he's thinking. He's like, okay, let's think about this. Our mom invented that shit, so we've got to be smart enough to figure this out, right?
And they're like, right. That's right, yeah.
So Peter's like, okay, here's the thing. Well, let's just try shooting ourselves again. The laser beam shot us. I know we got all the way back upstairs, but now that we're here, let's think about this.
They hear a car parking in the driveway.
Uh-huh, a car parking. And their mother's voice says, well, they didn't have the size colander I wanted. Doggone it. And now I'm home earlier than I expected.
But I brought a whole bunch of new squashes for testing purposes. And she enters, and she's got these bags full of squashes of all different shapes and sizes, and she just dumps them onto the floor of the hallway.
Unceremoniously, dumps them all onto the floor.
The hallway is full of these squashes, just as Timothy, Peter, and Susan have just started making their way back down the stairs as squashes. When they see her enter the room, they enter through the front door, they're startled. One bumps into the other, and they tumble down the stairs, and they also land in the hallway, now surrounded by squashes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're struggling to get off. I mean, they're oblong shapes, so they're on their backs. They're rolling all over. They can't get footing. They can't get any sort of traction here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of writhing around on the ground. And right at this moment, their mom picks a couple of the squashes up, not them.
Nope.
It's like, okay, skeleton hands, we're gonna try this again. And skeleton hands just start smashing them again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Skeleton hands crawls in from the garage and just starts smashing them.
And as skeleton hands is smashing these squashes, it's getting progressively closer to the children who have been turned into squashes.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to roll away. And meanwhile, you know, Helen's trying to stop skeleton arms.
Jumping on skeleton hands and punching and trying to wrestle. You know,
she still just thinks that he's smashing the gourds that she's going to use for her experiments. She doesn't realize that she is inadvertently saving her children's lives.
High stakes.
There's some really intense music going on.
And meanwhile, these gourds are getting smashed. I mean, it's slow motion. The skeleton arms are just smashing these gourds.
And Helen in slow motion is screaming, trying to pull skeleton arms away from the gourds.
And Peter finally rotates his whole body, and he lands on all fours, and he gets up, and he says, and he grabs Timothy and Susan under each arm, and he says, let's go. And he's they patter off into the garage. Skeleton arms is clawing after them, trying to get to them. Their mom on his back trying to get his skeleton arms back to his sides. They are able to sneak into the garage. And they close the door behind them. They're panting and just like, oh, that was close. And their mom, they can hear their mom from outside. It's like, man, I got to tinker on you some more. Let me go get my screwdriver. And she comes into the garage. And Peter is like, now's the time. And he tries to get her attention. He's waving his arms. He's saying, mm-hmm. mom, help, help. And she comes in. She sees the mess they made in her workshop, and she says, oh my god, what happened in here? Skeleton arms. And she starts to kind of pick things up. She's got screwdrivers, and she's like protractors, rulers. She's putting them back up on the shelf,
and mm-hmm. she finds the three gourds that she doesn't know are her children, and she's like, oh, perfect, some of the gourds must have rolled in here during the second fight for my life that I've had today.
perfect.
I'm going to go put these into the blending machine that's going to blend them down into their base elements, which I then will put into the beam so I can turn things into gourds, she says aloud. And so she sets them on this little this little shelf above this blending machine, this giant blade-filled pot.
Yeah, geez.
And she turns it on. And she's like, I'll get to that in a second. First, to clean up a little bit.
A clean workspace is a happy workspace.
And we get Peter's view from the top of the shelf, and he looks, peers over the edge. He sees the blades grinding along in this giant blender-looking device. Mm-hmm. And we get that like saw noise, that ring. Like he's looking from a great height, and it's an intense fall. So, it slowly kind of like looks like it's getting farther away, and he's like, gulp. and he turns to the other two. He's like, we got to get out of here, guys. We can't let Mom blend us into a pulp. And they're like, we agree. I mean, what, you got a solution? And Peter says, yeah, I think I know a way out of here. And he looks behind one of the cabinet, and he grabs, there's like this jar of Q-tips, and he starts to grab the Q-tips. He grabs, there's some office supplies too. He starts stringing together things. Meanwhile, Helen is, she's sharpening blades. I mean, she's just getting prepared to basically dissect these gourds that are her children. Were her beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous, I mean, immaculate children.
They were like carved from granite, these children.
And now lumpy old gourds.
Ugh, I say kill them. I say
Greg,
kill
Greg, Greg. Calm down.
My God.
So she's got her back to the kids, and we can see kind of in the foreground she's really intensely, you know, getting these they look like torture implements. I mean, it's pretty intense looking stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, geez.
But in the background, the gourd children are they throw like a paper clip attached to a string down, then they zip line across with the Q-tips, and they're basically getting out of there. I mean, they're like, we gotta get to that ray gun over there. So they zip over to the ray gun.
Zip line over the spinning blades of death in the blender. At one point, like the one of the paper clips comes loose, and it looks like, you know, Susan's gonna fall into it, but then Timothy grabs her hand, and then it's quite a cool little escape sequence.
Yeah. And it's heart throbbing. What's the word I'm looking for there?
Heart throbbing. Yeah,
it's heart throbbing. Like seeing these kids almost fall into the blender. We're like, oh no.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't that worried. I figured the film wouldn't kill three children. It's a family film, but you sure were making those sounds during that sequence.
It's just those movies that make you want to scat, you know. So the Hollandaise children, they get to the floor, and and they kind of do like a I mean, they hit the floor pretty roughly, and they have a tough landing, but they land on their feet, and and they kind of patter over to her tool box shelf thing. I mean, it's like a giant toolbox with shell, you know what I'm her workbench. They are over to her workbench, and so they start to climb on the shelving, and they're like, we got to get to the top of this where the ray gun is. And Helen is like, okay, we're almost all set for the operation. And she turns around and sees the gourds are missing, and she's like, where are those ugly old gourds?
I was so looking forward to chopping them up and blending them, and I hate those gourds.
I swear if I ever find those gourds, I'm just going to smash them on sight.
Without looking too closely.
Or listening to anything that might be said.
And she says, skeleton arms! And the 2x4 claws its way into the room, and she says, find the gourds! And it starts feeling around. Yeah. I mean, and we get this, they're basically hiding from skeleton arms and Helen throughout the workshop. They're like behind a little beaker that makes them look like a different shape, and it's a goofy
it's
scene.
It's fun yet horrifying.
Boy, is it intense.
Yeah.
It's like a straight up horror sequence with elements of comedy in it, but heart throbbing.
It was heart throbbing.
But I mean, this is causing a ruckus, mind you. I mean, this skeleton arms is going rampant through this workshop. Mm-hmm. I mean, knocking scalpel trays all over the place, hitting over the lamps. I mean, there's a ton of lamps in there. And the Gourd children finally find themselves on top of a bookcase, and Skeleton Arms is kind of clawing its way up. It knows them, they're up there, but it can't quite reach. And Helen, and it's knocking all the books off the shelf. And Helen is like, "Okay, Skeleton Arms, that's enough of that." And she drags
Arms
it out of the way. It is still clawing, trying to get to the children.
She's like, okay,
enough of that. All right, we've had our fun, Arms.
Enough is enough. Fun is fun, but you're knocking over my books now. Okay, come on now.
I know. I wanted to find those gourds too. I wanted to mess them up. I wanted to kill them so bad.
And smash them into pumpkin pie.
And the children are like, "Oh my god, she's gonna stop at nothing. We need to get out of here, or at least get that ray gun. We still need that ray gun real bad. I don't know if it can change us back, but it can't make things worse than they are now." And right at that moment, there's a fire that starts in the workshop, and it starts to spread very rapidly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what she was mixing in there, but they're very flammable liquids. Mm-hmm. And so there's pillars of flame that just start to shoot up throughout the workshop. And the smoke starts to fill the entire room. And Helen grabs a fire extinguisher. She's fighting. She's like, "Oh my god, how did this happen?" She's just like going intensely. She opens up the window that's up by them. They are able to sneak out into the backyard. I mean, they're coughing and wheezing. They are trying to catch their breath after that harrowing experience. And they tumble out into the backyard and find themselves in grass. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get their bearings. They're like, "Oh my god, what how are we gonna get back in there, first of all? And how are we gonna, you know, turn ourselves back into just these, you know, angelic like children?"
and as they're discussing, Susan screams and she says, "Ah, look out! Lawnmower skeleton arms!" And they look over, and there's a lawnmower, like a push lawnmower, but it's got two skeleton arms protruding off of the back of it.
Attached to two skeleton arms that are walking it along.
And it's doing its duty. It's mowing the lawn.
It's just mowing the lawn.
This leads to a frantic chase through the tall grass of their backyard.
And eventually into the vegetable garden, where they find a bunch of living beings that are carrots,
live vegetables,
radishes.
You've got potatoes. Lettuce.
This is like Veggie Tales, but like super fucked up.
You know? It's like if Veggie Tales were like mutants, and they didn't want to be.
Yeah,
and so they're kind of walking through the vegetable garden, and all these things start to come to life around them. They're like, "Oh, it's one of them. Hello, yes, who is it? It's, oh, come here, let me tell you something." And they're like, they're trying to dodge and dip. They're like, "Oh my god, what did we walk into?
Let me talk at you for a second, come here."
And eventually they stumble and there's into the squash patch, and they see that there's all these creatures that look like them. And the children are like, what is going on? Peter starts to cry. Timothy breaks down. Susan is the only one who's keeping it together at this point. She's just like,
she slaps them both.
What is happening? and one of the squashes rolls over to them and is like, "Oh, it's you. We've been watching you for some time now." And
you think you were like, the first kids they had? And they're like, "What? What the fuck are you talking about?
We used to be beautiful, gorgeous little baby boys and girls. Where are the forgotten children? The Cabbage Patch Kids?" And all the Hollandaise children, the squashes, are like, "This is so messed up. This is so wrong. Is there any way that we can not? This is our fate right here." And they're like, "Well, it was our fate. You are the only ones who can forge your own destiny." And the kids are like, "You know what? He's right. All of you, You were all once children, and he stands up on this little, I mean, we'll call it a soapbox, I guess. I mean, he gets up on there. And
he's an old pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And Peter starts to give a speech, and he's like, listen, if we band together, we can accomplish anything. I know Skeleton Arms is scary, but you know, he's just one step in accomplishing our goals. We need to get out of here. This is wrong. And all the vegetables are getting fired up. They're like, you know what? Yeah. He's right. Yeah. He's right. Yeah. And Peter's like, I say we take to the workshop right now and we change ourselves back. And all the vegetables are like, yeah, you know what? We could do this. And
they start chanting, latest kids, latest kids, latest kids, latest kids.
Most recent children.
And they hear the school bus coming down the street. And they're like, oh, no, she's going to know now that we weren't at school if we don't get off that bus. And they all run, the group of all the vegetables. The entire vegetable garden runs out with them down to the side patio and around to the front of the house where the workshop is. And, you know, plumes of smoke are still coming out of the workshop. Helen's still struggling with a fire. She's finally got it all tamed at this point. We get cut to her in the workshop, and she hears, oh, is that the school bus? And she comes out of the workshop door to come greet her children at the door. So all the vegetables, they start to sneak into the workshop through the window. They climb mm-hmm. up the rain gutter and in through the window, and they're like, go, everybody in. And as they slide into the workshop, Helen is the school bus pulls up to the front. The doors open, nobody gets off, doors close, and the school bus drives away. And Helen is like, huh, that's unusual. And she goes and she closes the door and goes inside and is like, I wonder where my children have gone off to.
She's kind of, yeah, again. She's in the kitchen and she's like, she's thinking, she's got her arms crossed and she's just kind of like thinking it over. Where could they have gone? That's not school. And we kind of get this pan over towards the door of the workshop, and there's these green and orange flashes of light coming out from underneath. And we cut inside, and one by one, these vegetables are jumping in front of the beam, and another vegetable is jumping on the button, and it starts the beam, and they're turned back into human children, though they've all aged.
Yeah, some of them are older than Helen.
Which raises a lot of questions.
And Helen walks out to the backyard and is like, what is... And she sees the vegetable garden is empty. And she says, oh, no. And she runs to the workshop.
She pulls a gun out from behind. Oh,
and
no.
She says, I knew it would come to this. And she runs out to the workshop. And she's greeted by none other than the Hollandaise children in all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And she says... So you've come to find out the secrets of the vegetable garden, and the three main Hollandaise children, Timothy, Peter, and Susan, they step forward, and they and Peter's like, we know what you've been doing, you're a monster, this is wrong, and she says, oh, but if you only understood, I mean, we've been cultivating the perfect children. And it takes trial and error. You are just the last iteration of an experiment.
For you see, we weren't turning children into gourds. We were turning gourds into children. But then they'd fail and turn back to gourds eventually. But you have no memory of that. You used to be a gourd, but now you're a child again. Does that make sense? But the point is, you all started as gourds, and now you've reversed into children, which was my goal, but you're unstable, so you're gonna turn back into gourds any second now.
And just then they all jump at her.
And they start attacking her.
They start attacking her, and she's like, fucking no!
Skeleton arms!
And
every skeleton arms bursts in. All the inventions. We got laundry basket.
We've got
bucket. Lawnmower.
We've got bucket with the googly eyes just looking back and forth all crazy. We've got a coat hanger. We've got lawnmower comes down the hallway.
We've got ironing board. We've got lamp. We've got table lamp. We've got desk lamp.
And regular skeleton arms. And they all come into the room and just start... I mean, it's an all-out war
between
the squashes and the skeleton arms.
These human children that used to be squashes are fighting these various household appliances with skeleton arms affixed to them.
It is a sight.
And Helen is just cackling. She's like, yes, yes, my creations. And the skeleton arms start to get beat back. The children and these old people are these gorgeous
elderly folk.
As they're destroying the skeleton arms, they are slowly turning back into gourds and various vegetables, and except for Timothy, Peter, and Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And as the war starts to die down, it's just them three, Helen and her skeleton arms, just skeleton arms behind her.
The others have all been destroyed. The people have turned into gourds and been smashed. The other skeleton arm devices have been dismantled.
Torn asunder.
And Peter points at her and says, You're going away for a long time for this. And she says, any minute now you're gonna be a gourd again. And I'm just gonna go right back to doing what I was doing before. And none will be the wiser. And Timothy's like, You're a monster. And Susan's like, there's someone will find out. We're gonna get you in trouble. And
she's
like, skeleton arms, and a skeleton arm starts to saunter toward him and grabs him, wraps him up, all three of them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Mom, why would you do this? She's like, I have no choice. This is all I've ever known. And they're like, well, couldn't you try something else? Don't you realize this is barbaric? And she says, What do you mean, barbaric? This is just...
I gave you life. You were a squash. You were nothing.
I made you dirt. I made you gorgeous. I
put you into this world and I'll take you out of it. And just at that moment, Peter sheds a single tear. He has shingles and he sheds one of the tears. And
ow, my legs.
And it falls and hits the ground. And they all just start to cry. And Helen's like, what are you doing? This isn't going to work. And they're just like, Mommy, Mommy. And these gorgeous. I mean, come on now.
You've done it.
They're openly weeping. And Helen is, she pulls out the gun and points it at him. She's like, don't you do this to me. This isn't how it's supposed to end. And they're just like, Mommy, don't hurt us, Mommy. And she's like, no. And she grabs her ears and she's like, don't stop. And she drops the gun, which fires and explodes skeleton arms.
Skeleton arms just explodes. The arms fall to the ground. The kids are released.
And Helen runs forward and wraps them up in a hug. And she says, I'm sorry, you beautiful babies. I'm so sorry. You're so amazing. And just, I never want to see you in danger's way again. And right at that moment, they say, Mom, I think it's happening. And they slowly start to turn back to gourds.
Yeah, we get this slow dolly shot away, and she's just clutching these gourds that are shrinking back to gourd size. And she's weeping and crying over them. And these gourds are not anthropomorphized anymore. These are just squashes.
And she's collapsed on the ground, and she's saying, Timothy, Peter, Susan... My children.
My children.
And her husband walks into the workshop and says, Honey, I'm home.
It's the same day.
Oh, not this. Not this again. And he picks her up off the ground and says, Honey, let's leave the gourds alone for now. I come on. And he leads her into the kitchen and sits her down and says, Honey, listen. I know you've been going through a lot right now, and I want to be here for you, but you can't keep doing this.
You can't keep turning gourds into children. They keep turning back. When are you gonna learn?
When we lost our our three and only children in that horrible workshop fire 10 years ago, we've been chasing that feeling. I know. Listen, it's been hard for me too, but we need to move on. And they have this real heart to heart moment where she's just crying into his shoulder and he's trying to comfort her as best he can. But I mean,
the film really tackles like the emotion and the heartbreak of like a parent losing their children, and like this is a family film about a mad scientist turning kids into gourds, and it's tackling this very like
there's clearly a void in their life and they're trying to fill it, and you know, skeleton arms aren't that comforting.
You can't hug a 2x4 with skeleton arms.
Well, I mean, you could,
but like it's not gonna hug you back.
But then we get this zany text that kind of splats on the screen that says, "Honey, darling, I squashed the kids," and this silly music comes on, and the credits start to roll.
Yeah, the film fucking ends with a husband and wife crying over the death of their three children from a decade earlier.
Classic.
This was a Disney Channel original film. This was clearly a children's movie. This was. Rated G.
I tell you.
G for gourd, maybe.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, that was Darling, I Squashed the Kids.
Darling, I Squashed the Kids. Wow.
So, what? I don't know. What did you guys think?
Well,
Oh, you go first. What did you guys think?
Oh, Kyle, you go first. What did you guys think?
You know, I thought. You know what? Actually, you go ahead, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Okay. Kyle, you go. Well, Kyle, you go first.
Should I go?
You go first.
I'll go.
Kyle, what did you think?
I thought, Greg, can you get us started? I'm trying to think of like what I thought.
So
I just need a second.
I would really. Henry, are you sure? Are you okay with me going? Are you okay with us going first? You okay with?
8 out of 10.
You know what? Same. 8 out of 10.
I thought it was good. Yeah. Geez. This was a pretty heart wrenching movie. Heart throbbing movie. This one was. I'm gonna have to give it an 8 as well.
My heart was throbbing the whole time.
It was just throbbing.
It was like skibidi bop bop boop bop bidi boop beep bop boo doo.
Just the film has everything. I mean, you got like wacky experiments, you got a mother who's dealing with the loss of her children, you got kids turning into gourds and going on a crazy adventure,
you got 2x4s skeleton arms.
What a film. Well, if you would like to submit a film for us to review, you can do so via email at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at Cineplex Podcast.
I dare you.
A triple dog dare you.
Now you gotta. Now you have
you
to.
Gotta. If you don't, then there'll be consequences.
Lawyer up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably start getting the theater ready for Snooze Fest. We gotta bring in the beds and stuff.
Yeah, bunk beds and we gotta stock up on pillows.
We gotta lay down all the futons.
Mm-hmm.
Clean up all the squash and the squash courts.
Yeah. We have to put new light bulbs in the night lights.
That's right. They haven't been changed since last year.
Since last year. Goodness.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing that we kept some of the sheep from Shepherd Fest, I guess.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, there we go. Yeah. For counting purposes.
Yeah, don't tell anyone, but we did steal a few sheep.
I mean, there's no way those shepherds will even notice a handful of sheep are gone.
I mean, how many sheep do they have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6, 7.
We'll catch 8, you next time on
9
Brick Room at
10,
the Cineplex.
11, 12, 13.
Sleep tight, everybody.
14, 9, 9.